Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Conan.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I've bitten a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day. Good morning, everybody. Happy Fake Friday. Welcome to this Thursday Synthetic Friday edition of Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep. No show tomorrow, of course, for the holiday. Spencer Israel, Joel Conan, Dennis Dick with you this morning. A lot to discuss. We're going to talk infrastructure. Of course, we probably should discuss that earlier the past few days. Well, we've been discussing it, but the Biden's plan came out yesterday. We're going to talk about ways to play it or not going forward in the short term and for the long term. We're going to talk about some weird action in Discovery yesterday. We're going to break that down for you. That was a little bit weird. We had earnings overnight from Micron. This morning, a couple of EV players came out with marked delivery totals. We had Wingstop with some guidance. We have J&J had some bad news on the few vaccine doses got ruined, I guess. And we'll take questions from our chat. Two guests on the docket for today. Mark Chaikin of Chaikin Analytics will be on at 8:15, as he is every other Thursday. And then at 9, I'm talking infrastructure with Norman Anderson, the chairman and CEO of CGLA Infrastructure, who's going to give us his thoughts on Biden's plan and the actual feasibility of it. That'll be at 9 o'clock. Smash that like button, everyone, please. Hit subscribe to get notified when we go live. And let's throw it to Joel. And Joel, share those charts and tell us, please, how are we doing into the overnight trading session? Are we at all-time highs still?
A little bit of a weak close at the end of the quarter, but boy, oh boy, they bought that dip right off the open. Pre-market low, 64.50. That's right on my number, my daily pivot. Nothing done on my order, though. We've rallied up. We've taken out yesterday's high at 83.5. Just by 1 point, we're just hanging up there. Mitch is calling for Spider 400, S&P 4000. Will we see that today? Crude, that's up 18 cents at 59.34. You have gold in the green, back over 1,700, folks, up $2 at 1,760. Silver, that's in the red, though. That's going the opposite way. That's down 12.7 cents at 24.41. And Bitcoin's trying to close over $60,000. That's up $175 at 59,460. Before we bring Triple D in here, I did tell them on the pre-market show, but the investment committee met last night. And
oh boy,
we're going 100% cash.
Wait a minute. He's lying.
We are. We're April done.
Hey.
Oh, Come on. You didn't even let the chat get it at all. You had to do that
right away on that. Right away.
He had me for
There's
a
no way we saw Conan's going 100%.
He had me for
ever.
One second. And then I was like, wait a minute.
I got it right away. I was like, I'm not falling for this whatsoever.
But Dennis, I did send Dennis a text last night for my projection for 1 year from now for the market based on the last quarter performance. And my target for March 22 is 5,740.
Holy
mackerel. Yep.
Straight out of Kathy Wood's playbook right there.
Yep. And you said, why not go to 10,000, LOL? And I said, be conservative. 10,000 would align more with Lisa's and Kathy's targets. So, no. All right.
I'm fully long SPY. I have not sold one share of my SPY. Fully long Qs. For everybody who's given me heat, I'm bearish high growth, high PE. And I'm still going to stay bearish those names. I think they're overvalued. And I still think the bubble has popped. I think we're getting this relief rally here right now in those names. S&Ps, we've been talking on this show, if you've been listening, have never been in a bear market. I'm not bearish the overall market. I'm not calling for an impending crash. I said it could start rolling over into everything. And I think having some cash is prudent. But at the same time, the SPYs have not shown us any bearish signal whatsoever. It's been the higher PE stuff, the higher growth names, the Cathie Wood portfolio. Those are the ones that I think you sell into this rally here. Another gift, end of the quarter. It's just all textbook stuff. End of the quarter, we get a relief pop. Everybody's like, Cathie's back. Tesla's back. Tesla to 10,000. Yeah. I'm not getting on that train here. Tesla got to go over 700. It's going to have
it's had a
there.
Good couple days, though.
A great couple days. It's had great days, though, here before, too, in the last month and a half or 2 months. I just don't think we are in this environment where everybody's jumping back. I think Reddit changed it to a certain extent. I said this before. Credit to the Reddit traders. They're not all about these high P names. They're about deep value. Or Roaring Kitty, deep value. He uses the F word in there, but his name, what is it? Deep effing value. I mean, this, they're looking at GameStop. That wasn't a high P, high growth name. That was a value trade. AMC, definitely not a high P, high growth. Well, maybe high P, there's no PE, but not a high growth name. It was trying to find value, finding value in the gutter. And I mean, if you think Reddit traders aren't going away, I don't know if they're getting on the high PE bandwagon. Palantir was one stock they put in there, but for the most part, most of those names are similar. They're beaten down value names that better days are probably past them. So, I mean, if you think that, I still think value, this value trade that we've been seeing, money flying to value holds, and I think you buy those stocks on the pullback. General Motors had a nice pullback a week ago. Now it's starting to come up here again and show some life. Didn't show that much yesterday because you've got the growth trade and they're like dumping value names now because we're going full growth and we're going back to 2020 and we're going back to 2019. Maybe we are, but I still see a lot of stocks and serious uptrends that are value names. Hard to just turn around and say, okay, yeah, these growth names that are all in clear downtrends have now turned it around and it's now time to get long. Barbell approach is probably the best approach. Little bit of value, little bit of growth. A lot of indexing is how I do my portfolio.
Yeah, it's I mean, it's much easier. Market. You're a Johnny stock picker, though. You're like, oh, I'm buying this, I'm buying this.
Well, I wish I wasn't, this. Kind of. I wish I would just index the long-term stuff. And maybe that's what you do, and you just trade. I think I'm pretty good at day trading. I'm fairly consistent. The long-term investing stuff, never been, you know, where I've made all my money. I make my money trading, making calls, swing trading and day trading, where I'm taking money out. And then you make that money, and then I move it into something else. And people say, well, why don't you use that money? Well, I don't use that money because look behind me, Bright Trading. Why would I use my money, you know, when I can use Bright Trading's money for free? So, because I've got prop money behind me. So
let's talk what a good PE is to you. Like what, you know, like the chat's asking that, like what's the you know, the threshold?
Well, the market's sitting up there in the mid 20s, really, when you look at past. If you're going forward growth multiples, I think we're in the lower 20s, which is historically high. 14 to 16 is usually where the SPY trades. Cathie Wood making a great point on CNBC a couple weeks ago, though, and a point that I've thought about as well. Interest rates so low as they are, you should expect a higher multiple on the SPY. SPY's multiple is reasonable. SPY's multiple is not out of the realm of, you know, with interest rates as low as they are. And yes, they're going up a little bit, but they're still historically low. 20, 21, 22. It's not, you know, unreasonable. What's unreasonable to me is, you know, Zoom trading 50 times sales. I mean, we've talked about those stocks and they're getting the nice pop. They're getting the relief. This is called a relief rally. In my opinion, Zoom is having a relief rally the last couple of days. Goes from 305 down up to 326 this morning. That's a nice little relief pop, a nice little 7%. They've hammered the stock. In the beginning of March, this was 440.
Oh, my Lord. Hammered.
So you're getting a little relief pop. I think relief pops are to be sold. So I believe Tesla is a relief pop as well. Although Tesla's its own animal and the story with Musk isn't going away, it's still your strongest one. But, I mean, as long as it's below 700, I think bears are firmly in control here still on Tesla. So, But, you know, if you're looking at, like, lower P stuff, there's just run your scanner. I mean, there's a ton of stocks that are still trading with reasonable valuations out there. My biggest position in my long-term portfolio remains Google. I think, you know, Apple's reasonable, but it's not cheap. It's not cheap to itself. Microsoft is I think look reasonable.
At that Google. Look reasonable. At that thing. Look yeah, at that
it's
thing.
Got, it's got a forward PE of like 30, so that's perfectly reasonable.
Look at the trading range.
It's
in
less
that.
Than that, isn't it, Google? I think it's actually less than that. It's probably the looking back PE. I think the Google forward PE is in the lower 20s.
Oh, all right.
Last match. I'm not sure, but last time I checked, well, last scene, right. It's come up a bit, I guess.
30 like lower 20s, potato, potato.
Potato, potato. It's not trading 50 times sales or 100 times sales. Amazon trades 4 times sales. I mean, if Amazon wanted to make more money, they could make more money. It's fairly reasonable. It's reasonable to think that this, you know, retailer, which is the biggest retailer in the world, you know, can trade 3 or 4 times sales. It's not out of the, you know, realm of, you know, rationality. So, yeah, but, you know, there's other, you know, you can get away from tech, though. You don't have to hold all tech stocks either. There's tons of other ones that, you know, are trading at, you know, reasonable valuations as well. I mean, some of these have expanded significantly from where they were. But, you know, like the, you know, the Nucor, you know, which has went from 50 to 80. If you think an infrastructure place, you know, that's been a good one. So am I chasing some of these up here? No. But on pullbacks, you know, the most reasonable valued stocks, I still believe are General Motors and Ford. So I think they're going to benefit highly from EV. They benefit from reopening. And they're trading with PEs of like 7. So there's reasonable valuations out there. You just have to look for it.
You want to hear something funny? Lisa sent me this text. Someone posted it. It says, my wife didn't order anything from Amazon yesterday, but the delivery guy knocked on the door anyways to see if I was okay.
That's not the truth.
All right. Let's talk some of these infrastructure. We got to run out and buy them now, right? They made the announcement. We got to run out and buy these infrastructure stocks.
Yo, we've
like
been
right
a little
now,
late. We've been talking.
No, about right it. Now.
It's not like we haven't been talking about it with U.S. Steel. We've been talking about
we've been talking about all these stocks.
We've been talking about U.S. Steel and then these steel stocks, right? So
I just don't think everybody's asking me. They're so hungry for infrastructure plays right now. I think you guys, I'm sorry, but I think you're doing it backwards. I think the infrastructure play has been there. Nucor was probably one of the best infrastructure plays. Look at what it's done in the last month. This is a stock that historically trades. It's a lower beta name. Trades 5-10 point ranges for years sometimes.
Dennis,
we went from 50 to 80. It's a big
Dennis.
Move. What do you got? Talk
I want me. I want you to I want you to keep an eye on a number.
What do you have for me?
I want you to what are the lows here? Just let me check this out. Ooh. Keep an eye on 78.5 here. Keep an eye on 78.
Gotta hold that level.
You gotta hold that's a must hold level for Nucor. Yes. I don't want to hear you whining if it takes out 78.5 and it goes down to 68 or 69, but that's a must hold level. It's down 67 cents today. Maybe wait to do it on a closing basis, but man, you see these big run ups. You got a gap in here, very extended move from 60 to 80, double bottom, red candle yesterday. You got the 82.47. You backed off, you closed at, 80.27 double close area 80.39 80.27. Dennis, keep an eye on that. Okay,
I will keep an eye on that level. The one thing is, we called this yesterday on the show because we were saying, is this going to be the buy on the rumor, buy ahead of the event and sell on the event? And the infrastructure stocks had a bad day yesterday. I mean, you can look at Vulcan Materials, VMC. You can look at MLM. Both of those stocks completely reversing yesterday. X held on okay, but you know wasn't.
I don't
a great
like those candles.
Nucor held on okay, but wasn't a great day for it. Some of those infrastructure stocks, it totally went. We were selling infrastructure yesterday, and we're buying growth. That's what the trade totally went to yesterday. So, which is somewhat predictable. This is what this market does. It buys ahead of the event. We have told you guys about this stuff for years on the show. Sirius Alpha buying ahead of the event and selling right before the event. And that would have been buying some of these infrastructure stocks and selling them yesterday morning when they were trading up because, yeah, you know, this is, you know, the infrastructure play. This is the play. And then they come out with the news. The infrastructure bill comes out and they hit those stocks. That's just how this game is played.
Yep. All right. We'll get to a list that I put together here in a second, but I want to bring on Mark Chicken from Chicken Analytics and get his thoughts on this exact trade that we just discussed. So, Mark Chicken, good morning, sir. How are we doing?
Good morning. We've been talking infrastructure since after Biden won the election in November. We had Qantas Services we've been talking about on here, PWR. But I think infrastructure is the new tech. So it's not surprising, Dennis, that they sell off on good news. You know, you spiked up. I've been watching a stock called U.S. Cement, U.S. Concrete, USCR. My wife, Sandy, owns it. She bought it at 58.
What's the symbol?
Ago. I don't know.
USCR.
I trade it.
It has big wide swings. She bought it at 58 on an oversold buy signal 8 days ago. It spiked up to 78. This is what you're going to see. These stocks are like the tech.
I was just thinking about concrete. Like, everyone's thinking steel. I'm like, concrete. I don't have any concrete stocks.
Others.
But look, I want to stop you, Mark. That's a perfect buy. This is what you want. Stock in a clear uptrend. You think infrastructure is still the play. She didn't come in here and buy it when it went from 50 to 70. She bought the pullback on the stock that she felt was going to continue to benefit from the infrastructure. That pullback from 70 to 56 was the perfect buy, perfect timing. Mark, you've taught her well.
Maybe we should have Sandy on the show.
Hey, she's up for it. She's an early riser. There are other stocks like this. Mueller, MLI, used to be Mueller Brass.
Yeah.
Big infrastructure play. Jacobs Engineering.
What's the symbol on that one?
JCI.
That's been around for 100 years.
Going Johnson Controls. Wait, he's going Jacobs Engineering. It's JEC. JEC. No, what is it now? It changed it.
I think it's J.
Just J.
Is there a J?
Yeah, it is just J. It was JEC years ago.
My bigger point here is, first of all, the power gauge rating's been bullish on Nucor since July, $40. But I don't think the play is over. This is a real ongoing commitment if it gets passed, and that's a big if. And if taxes don't, you know, really bite hard going from 21 to 28 on the corporate level, this is a real boost for the economy on an ongoing basis. And guess what? The public wants this. This is jobs at the ground level. Concrete, asphalt, gravel, roads. This is big. It's a big trend. So yes, you want to sell spikes like you saw yesterday morning in U.S. concrete. But you want to buy the dip, and you don't want to give up your position. You know, this is the old, what was the guy in the Jesse Livermore book, the turkey or the peacock? Why didn't you sell? Well, if I sold, I'd lose my position.
I love that quote. So you're telling me on my Nucor, I should hold on to my Nucor shares.
Well, trader, you got to know if you're a trader or you're an investor.
I was going to say that. There's a difference between playing these things for a trade and say, hey, I believe in this bill I believe in this plan. I believe it'll get through, and I believe these companies will benefit, and that's a different thing entirely than, you know, selling the news like happened yesterday. So just know what you are, know what you're doing.
Yeah, and hey, Sandy took half off the table. She sold around 76, right after the spike. So that's a perfectly acceptable strategy. It's sort of a hybrid. It works, but I think the bigger question here is: does tech come back? We've got a strong tech market here this morning before the opening. Micron reported well. I don't think tech comes back that easily. Watching that 325 level on the
Q2. What a level.
I mean, is it going to get through that?
It's a lot of overhead supply.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a clear line. Look at that. I mean, we talked about that. It's just over the 50% retracement. I mean, just think if these stocks catch a bid. I mean,
then the market goes real. Then the market.
Yeah. Then it gets silly.
Josh Brown said that on CNBC yesterday. He's absolutely right. I mean, if these growth tech starts to catch a bid, we are going to get driven. You know, we can forget about 4,000 on the SPY. We'll be talking 4,500. I don't know if I see them just flying back into these names that where people have been basically. You know, it's been a wasteland here for the last month and a half.
I don't think they fly back in there unless interest rates drop, and I don't see interest rates dropping.
Mark, what do you think about that? Like 1.6, 1.7. Are you like emptying out your stock accounts and going in and buying? You get 1.7 on your money?
No, I think they're going to 2. They're going to 2.
And what about at 2? I mean, at 2. I mean, is that competitive? I mean,
10 years.
I don't know.
I don't want to tie up my money for 10 years.
You want to tie it up for 10 minutes for 2%.
It's going to be a hyperinflationary environment if this bill gets passed. But The other thing is tomorrow's non-farms payroll report. Have you talked about that?
No.
Yeah.
Well, that's the biggest elephant in the room today. The whisper number has gone from 650, which is the consensus, jobs created, to 1 million to 1.2 million. If that number comes in anywhere near the whisper number, remember the bond market is open tomorrow. The stock market is not.
Is that crazy? Can you remember that happening before?
I think it's 1 out of 20 years or something. Yeah, it depends where Easter falls and when the, you know, in terms of
the futures going to be open.
Stock futures, I don't know. I think maybe they trade till 1 o'clock.
I think they do trade partial day.
Yeah,
but the key is if that number comes in super strong, and that's what the whisper number is this morning, then you're going to see a real compression in tech. If we get the spike up in interest rates on the whole inflation story, tech's going to have a very bad Monday if that happens. So maybe they don't beat the regular estimate, and then tech does go up.
Wait, I'm seeing in chat a couple people I think may have missed that, but I'm not sure what you all missed in chat. Basically, what Mark just said is, if this plan even goes through, we're going to be in an inflationary environment, and also B, tomorrow the bond market and is open, and the futures trade half a day. I'm not sure what you missed in chat, but I saw a few comments about that.
Yeah, I mean, the point is, if the jobs number comes in
strong. Big,
yeah. And the bond market is going to go down, yields are going to go up, and that's going to be the syndrome that we've seen for 4 weeks now, where tech gets shot down on Monday. But that's a big if. We'll have to see how that plays out.
Mark, what else is on your radar here? I know we've talked about infrastructure with you, going back years, actually. But besides that, what else is on your radar here?
Well, small caps have had a really nice pullback. You've had a better than a 10% correction in the IWM. It started to show a little bit of steam yesterday. And so I think you got to be looking for small cap names to buy on dips.
Interesting that this is now the second quarter in a row, Q1 and Q4 of last year, where small caps outperformed large caps. Small caps lagged. I think going back 3 years, it was the 3 years prior, large caps outperformed small caps. Now we've got, and then it was the first half of last year too. But now we've got two straight quarters of the Russell outperforming the S&P and the Dow Jones. So that's something I'm watching for sure.
Yeah, I think it'll continue. Again, you're going to get these pullbacks along the way. And in small caps, they are brutal. You can get 25, 30% pullbacks in names that you like that can shake the tree, but I think you've got to find the ones with the good fundamentals. We've talked about a number of on here, like Marine Max. Yeah. Marine Max pulled back from 63 to 40 and 47 or 48.
So Deep there's some. O.
Yep. Yeah. There are some names. WCC, Wesco, is a logistics company. Interesting. You know, they're very involved. Supply chain management. You've got to buy these on pullbacks, but there are some really good names out there.
So just to sum everything up here, you're buying on pullbacks stocks at reasonable valuations. You're definitely not buying on pullbacks any high growth tech, or are you?
Small cap growth tech.
Small cap growth tech.
Not the big names, not the Pelotons, the Rokus, the Ring Centrals. Right, no, Zendesk, Zscaler, Zoom.
Yeah.
Those stocks have just been so hammered, Mark. I mean, yeah. I don't think they easily come back. Maybe it's just all going to come back and we're going to regret not having a few of these names. But I mean, Ring Central was $450 just over a month ago.
Wow.
It got down to 275, you know, losing, 175 points here in the last month.
You just got to think the all-time high might be in it, man. I mean,
and obviously we never say all-time high, but, you know, the multi-year high could be in. It was a blow-off top. I mean, that was just everybody's just got to buy growth at any cost, you know, like just paying whatever. It's growth. Who cares about valuation? I mean,
Maybe it was fueled by the Robinhood options traders. We don't know.
It'd be some expensive options.
Well, they're buying the out-of-the-money calls near expiration to try and shake the gamma tree. So I wouldn't be uncomfortable with all-time high, but certainly multi-year high is in, and these stocks are definite sales on any rallies.
Mark Chaykin is the founder of Chaykin Analytics, joins us every other Thursday to give us his thoughts on the market. Has a nice view of things, Mark. As always, we appreciate it. Have a good weekend. Nice long weekend.
Well, happy Easter to everybody.
Yeah, happy Easter to you too. All right. Let's talk about let's go back to the infrastructure thing. Let's give some names here. So I know we just talked about if you're doing this for a trade, you're probably a little bit late. We've discussed U.S. steel and steel stocks on our show for weeks now. But that being said, if you're interested in maybe a longer-term trade, an investment, break it down by industry, right? This is a very far-reaching plan. And again, elephant in the room, right? We don't know what's going to actually get through, and we don't really know how we're going to pay for it. I mean, Biden says corporate taxes, but I mean, let's be honest, I don't know how likely that is. So putting all that aside, that we don't know how we're going to pay for it and we don't know what's actually going to happen, here's how I would approach the infrastructure plan that Biden proposed yesterday, right? So there's lots of different buckets of this, and I want to look at each bucket individually. So you have broad-based infrastructure, right? That's like, I saw someone in chat mentioning this earlier, PAVE, P-A-V-E is like a broad-based U.S. infrastructure fund, and you can just the reason I like starting with the funds is you can just start there and then see what they hold, right?
Yeah, so look at the that's company. A good way to do it. Right. I mean, you want infrastructure plays, go buy it. Go look at the holdings of an infrastructure
right
fund.
You know, if to buy the fund, just look at the top holdings. So PAVE, IFRA is another one, a broad-based U.S. infrastructure fund. And these guys hold PAVE is the one that holds mostly utilities, I think. And then no, PAVE is industrials and IFRA is mostly utilities. So just to give you like a breakdown of the allocation there, clean energy, right? There's a lot in the bill or in the plan. I keep saying bill, a lot in the plan about clean energy. There's about $300 billion earmarked for the manufacturing of clean energy and clean energy infrastructure here in the U.S. So I would look at like ICLN, right, as one. I would look at QCLN is another. Again, these are ETFs and just go to the top holdings, right? PBW, TAN, we all know TAN is a solar play. PBW is another clean one, clean energy fund. EVs, obviously you guys know the EV names. And actually all the EV stocks are pretty much up overnight with the exception of XL Fleet, which had earnings last night. I guess they weren't great, but you guys know the EV stocks by now. Like even besides just the actual manufacturers, charging stations, right? Like Blink, right, which is up huge yesterday, and ChargePoint, which is up yesterday and again today.
Again, these are all relief rallies, in my opinion. I don't know if this is the start of a new bull market in Blink. I think you'll be happy. Just my opinion, but I think this is another selling opportunity in some of these names. Blink has never come down nearly as far as some of the other ones, but you know, maybe it's just the future and maybe we're just all going to go pay any valuations. But like I was saying on the show yesterday, valuation matters to this market again. And so these stocks are trading on concepts, a lot of them. You know, some of them have some earnings, but a lot of them are just concepts still.
What's the PE on this one?
So I don't think it has earnings.
I don't know if they have. Let's see.
So how do you, like, as a value investor, you can't even look at it. And if we are going, if we really are going to this value investing economy, which I kind of think are value investing stock market, I kind of think we are, it's hard to come in here and, you know, chase these things. I mean, this one thing, it was a $34 stock through 2 days ago. Now it's a $44 stock. Yeah. We're selling dips and buying rips in any regard. If you're bullish, this is not the time to buy. Let's just say you think it's going to 100.
Yeah.
You're buying the dips if you think it's going to 100. But yeah. I think this thing could go to 20. I don't know anything about it, but I just know a lot of these things are way, you know, that if we start caring about value, these things, the prices on some of these stocks are nuts. And I don't know Blink's fundamentals, but I just know that every other one is trading nuts. So I don't know why this one. Does it have any earnings?
I want to be clear. No, they don't. I want to be clear. I'm not saying go out and buy these stocks. I'm saying buy these
stocks.
I'm saying this is what you should be looking at and then go from start there and then go from there and figure out the trend, figure out you want to buy the dip, sell the rip, whatever. But obviously a lot of these have run up. So.
This is a big area, though. I think this is a good way to look at this Blink, because I'm gonna forget about all this noise here and this month here, and this was a crazy ass month. But you know, you had the dip, 64.50. I went to $25. You're getting there. You're halfway back there right now. You're up $4. Let's see what happens. Let's see if it
does. Right there.
This one I would keep an eye on. Let's call it $45. Keep an eye on today's close. I mean, the probability, and I don't know the statistics on this, but for this to go right back to 60, you know, and just maybe it is going back there, but you have a great reference point. I don't know if there's any daily highs. Okay, you got a daily high here. You got three highs in this area. Maybe I'll just go a zone, you know, not try and get too numbery on you. You got four highs between 45.5 and 48. So that's a big area for me, especially after such a rapid decline.
You're never going to get a perfect either. I mean, these are wild stocks. So you can't say, 45, it went to 46. I mean, if you're trading the shakeouts on them can be vicious too. It's a tough stock to trade, this Blink. I'm just, you know, you're trying to get overall patterns here. And I just think that this market, and maybe I've just, you know, drank the value Kool-Aid to a certain extent. I drank value Kool-Aid.
Oh, yeah.
I could be wrong. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. Nobody knows. Again, we go back to the thing. Nobody really knows anything.
We're
all just making educated guesses. But, you know, when I see a stock that's been absolutely hammered, and maybe this one hasn't been hammered as much as some of the other ones, but and when they start to come back, it's you know, just back to behavioral finance. You know, it's called loss aversion, where people start getting back into a level where you had congestion. I mean, this stock for 2 months traded between $45 and $55. So you get back into that area, you got to think, okay, there's some bag holders in there that are saying, please give me my money back. I watched it go from 45 to 25. It's back at 45. Okay, I got my money back. Get me out. That's why old support, you know, becomes new resistance for that reason. This was holding on to that 40, 45 for support before it broke down in February for a long time. Comes back up into that area, and then it starts to struggle. And again, you've got to also consider this has had a 20% move in 2 days. Is that overbought now? The stock just went from oversold to overbought in 2 days. So is it go to 50? I mean, anything can happen in this crazy market. But I would, you know, if I'm making an educated guess, I think you start to struggle as you get above 45.
All right, moving away from like the high growth stuff, right? Okay, because we know that's like sort of its own animal. But you can also go to like back to the plan. You can look at water, right? You want to see a nice buy the dip chart? Look at PHO, right? The Invesco Water Resources ETF. There's going to be about $111 billion invested in updating our country's water infrastructure. A nice buy. Every dip is in that.
What are some of those other AWR? Is that a water stock too?
Yep. Again, so this is a basket. You can look at the holdings. It's got all of them. All these water utilities, right? PHO is a big one. FIW is a big one, and that's a nice buy the dip chart right there. So one to put that. Here.
They've dipped and they keep getting bought. They're banging up against the breakout levels here. These look like the potential breakout candidates. So I like both of those charts that you just gave me. I don't know much about these stocks. First water. Well, this is an ETF, FIW.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
What's the other American States Water Company, though? That's what are there's another one, too. Isn't there a big one? I was looking at one that had a big decline. Can you think of it, Spencer? There's another one.
Are you thinking of
what is that?
You maybe AWK, American Water Works. Is that what you're thinking of?
Let me see. I just did AWR. Yeah. Look at those things.
Okay.
Boy, nice rallies.
And then you've got the materials, which we've discussed steel ad nauseum on this show. But also, like, think about technology infrastructure, right? They're going to be allocating money to expanding high speed internet access and 5G access and all those things. So think about things like FIVG. Think about which I am long for disclosure. Think about things like SRVR, which I'm also long for disclosure.
Man, are you along with any stocks with easy symbols?
These are ETFs.
It's got an ETF.
Jesus, Murphy.
These are ETFs.
I can't get data.
I don't know any of these little ETFs.
Yeah, Spencer,
I'm giving you these ETFs because
I know, but I like
easier.
Easier with the symbols.
All right, I'm sorry. It's easier to give the ETF and let you look at the holdings and me to give you 50 freaking stocks. But all these, they all own. I mean, FIVG, it owns like a bunch of like. Telecoms and
network. It's a 5G
and network.
FIVG?
FIVG. 5G. FIVG.
PFIG?
No, 5G. 5G.
F-I-V-G.
Frank, Ida, Victor,
Is that in that New Jersey accent?
I'm sorry. I'm going fast here because there's a lot. they all own, like, all this fund is like, I'm moving on.
That is laughs at my jokes.
All this fund is network connectivity companies, semis, which is also part of the Biden's plan. So, again, start there. And what else? Yeah, I mentioned semis. I mentioned 5G. I mentioned SRVR, which is a data center REIT play. I don't know, that's a little obscure, but I think that was actually it. That was it for my list. I went through a lot. I tried to cut. I skipped a few things, but
good job.
There's more, but that is by no means an exhaustive list. But again, I would approach this thing by looking at, okay, where is the money supposed to go? And there's like 10 different categories, and then just go down the line, right? So we have water, we have technology infrastructure, we have charging station EVs, we have materials, right? And each of those has 100 freaking plays. So there's a lot to play here. Again, not saying to buy any of these or sell any of these for that matter. I'm saying look at the chart and understand if it's a buy the dip situation or as Dennis said, a potential breakout in one of the water ETFs. You gotta look at the chart, do your own analysis there.
But if you're a trader and you're coming in today, this morning,
yes,
and you're saying, what can I buy?
You're a little late.
You're doing it backwards again. You got to look at what you're doing. We're buying dips. I'm going to just, we're like on repeat on this show. And I know it annoys some people, but it's like basic education on trading. Buying dips and selling rips. And when you want to get out of the stocks, you're selling the rips. And when you want to get into stocks, you're buying the dips. We are on Rip Central. Stocks have ripped for a few days here now. QQQ has ripped up from, it's 307 a week ago. It's 322. If you're coming in and buying your tech stocks now, they just ran 5% in a week. You're doing it backwards. I'm looking today. This is the day that I look in my portfolio and I see, is there any growth tech names that I don't want to hold because I don't like growth tech? So I'm going and I'm lightening up those. That's the way I'm trading it. As a day trader, you can play the little intraday flows. But, most of our traders aren't trading, don't have a 2-minute or 5-minute time horizon. Some of them have, a couple of days, maybe they're swing trading. If you're coming in and starting your swings now, like Marvel Technologies, we were talking about that. You had another pullback 5 days ago. I love this company. I wanted to own this company forever, and I watched it go to 35 to 55 without me. It came back down, and I bought it at 40. I didn't get 37.92, but I bought it at 40. I'm buying that dip on a 5G play that I believe in that actually has a reasonable valuation. That's what it's all about. A little dividend, but reasonable. Now it's coming up. If that was on for a trade, I'd be selling my Marvel today, but I put that in the longer-term portfolio. But if it was a trade, this would be, you're back to this 50 level. So you're coming here and buying MRVL today at 50. I mean, here it is. A week ago was 43.65, and you got all this overhead supply you're getting into. Now, I earmarked this and put this in my retirement account, so I'm not going to turn around and just take the profits on it. But if this was in for a trade, I think you're ringing the register at 50, don't you, Joel?
There's some resistance there. But another thing too, because people are like, if you missed it, let's say you have $100 that you want to put in one of these stocks, and you really feel there's not going to be a pullback. You can nibble. You can look. If you feel like, because sometimes even if you have like a small position in something, then you pay attention to it. But if you're nervous, like this is, I missed it. I knew this was coming. I should have bought the X. Extended move. But if you nibble a little bit, I know, it's not dollar cost averaging, yada, yada, yada. But, that's one way. If you feel like the pulse and you're like, oh, Dennis and Joel, they're just, they're telling us and it's going to go without me. That's one way to do it. I see $50 here in Marvel. There's a daily high right there.
It's a big level.
Yeah, it's a big level. It's come back. It's gotten over half this move back pretty quickly. So
I love this company. I love this stock. I Why? Think the stock Why you could be it? A $70 or $80 stock, but the buy opportunity was 6 days ago. I'd wait for another pullback to get back in. I'm holding it, but my shares, but I'm not adding to it at 50. If I wanted to add to it, I'd wait for a little pullback here. You've had a pretty good few-day move. Can it go without you? You know what? If they go without you, there's always another train leaving the station. You know, I learned this. I'm told the story about, you know, the trader that was sitting beside me when I first started break trading, and he would just jump on the moving trains everywhere, and then it would turn in reverse, and then it would turn in reverse. And, you know, the error which I learned from him, because he was doing wrong, was he's jumping on the moving train. I like to jump on the train when it's at the station. So it's, you know, we've come back, we've consolidated, and now we're perking up and looking like we're ready to go. So I buy my ticket and I hop on board on the stationary train. I don't try to buy, you know, the stock that just ran 10 points, you know, where we were just talking, what was that ETF that EFT, the electric blink.
Yeah, blink.
You know, I'm not jumping in blink here at 44 and saying it's going 50. It might, but you know what? How do you control the risk on that? Where's your stop? Your stop's got to be almost down at 32. It's too much risk. So if you were so inclined, it would have been a better buy 2 days ago when it was consolidation station, the train station. The train hadn't left the building. Train left the building. Blasted off. It's already moved. Find another train. Don't go chasing stocks. When you chase, you typically, and you jump on moving trains, you fall under the tracks.
Yep.
And so you got to find those stationary setups, you know, and I don't think you have a lot of those setups today. So, but if you were in those, it's not saying you can't get out of your position when the train is moving. I don't enter positions. You can get out when you're in Rocket Ship Central. Don't wait till it stops and starts going the other way. Get out, sell your peanuts while the circus is in town. So if you bought Blink 2 days ago, 34, I'm selling it today at 44.
If people are talking like how do you, like, what's a good entry, you know, from Marvel. Now it's, you know, it's hard to look at the right side of, you know, you can look at the left side, and then what you would want to see is, and I'll just give me a hypothetical scenario here. Let's say it struggles at 50 here for a couple days, and then some people take some profits. I mean, this is a big move. Let's say it makes a high at 50 today. Right, that's a 12-point move off the low. Half of that is 6. You know, 44. Wow, you got a nice low at 44. You know, see if it comes back into. I'd say this 40. You know, based on what it does today, you know, if it did come back into this 44 to 46 area, that was kind of a spike bottom. So, you know, the real buyer was at 40. He got mopped up this day, came back in, went back at 40, and then they ran away from him. So that's what I look for. You look for, you know, look for a little intermediate top, and then, you know, just a, I don't know who covers this. Maybe you get some lame downgrade or something, comes back into an area. But that's what I'd say right there, 44 to 46 right now.
I think so. I think that's your buy area, 44 to 46. And if it takes off without you, find another train. But people struggle with this so much. I struggle with this. It's human nature to say, oh, I was looking at that stock and it went without me. And I'm like, I can't believe everybody's making this money. I like that stock. I didn't buy it. I'm so mad at myself. I didn't buy that. And then what happens is the psychology gets you and you chase it and you buy it at the top. And then it turns around and rolls over on you. That is trader psychology. Rob Friesen does such a good job with this at Bright Trading, you know, talking about trader psychology and figuring out all this stuff. Why is Rob really good at that? Because he's been with Bright Trading for 22 years and teaching and educating traders, and he understands the mentality. It's the psychology that keeps you back in this business. It's the psychology that affects everything. When you're rolling, when you're in a trading role, you can do no wrong. But when you can't figure it out, you can do no right. And it's the psychology, you know, the loss of the last trade clouding your vision. So there's so much behind that. But people naturally want to chase stocks. And it's the recipe to lose money in the long run in this business.
And that's why we pay attention when stocks like Amazon are range bound for 7 months. Right, that's what we're talking
about.
That's
at the train station. I don't know which way it's gonna go. We haven't decided which way the train's gonna go, but it is at the station. Place your bets.
right.
It's got a tough area here. Every time that 31.50. See that there's like there you go. It got half of its losses back, right? And then it had a little pullback. So, man, the next time it blasts over 31.50, 31.60, wow, 1, 2, 3, 4 highs in that area. Holy mackerel. That's a big error. And these stocks were the other thing that was kind of weird about the Apples and the Amazons and stuff is it all started with the earnings. Like Apple, I mean, you can't see, I don't know if I took my writing off here, but it was that they hit these things after earnings. So when are we going to start the old earnings cycle again? We're pretty soon, right? In the middle of April?
3 weeks, I think. 3 weeks.
Okay. Yeah. S&P's just hanging out here near the highs, folks. 83.50, yesterday's high, 84.50, the current high, currently trading at 83.25, up 15.75.
And so like, here's an example of what not to do, right? Maybe don't buy NIO this morning. The stock is ripping. Why? Because they reported delivery. Well, first off, every EV stock is up overnight, as I mentioned, except for Apple Fleet. But NIO actually had a headline. They announced they delivered about 7,200 cars in March, which compared to March of last year, that was like 1,500. So, you know, they're delivering more cars. That's good news. Anyway, the stock is up this morning. Maybe not one you want to chase up now.
Hard, yeah. I mean, it's not a matter of whether, you know, at this point in time, it's just a curveball. It's a hard pitch to swing. I could see it going to 45, so maybe you buy it at 41 and it does go to 45. But right, if I'm wrong, how do I control the risk? Mm-hmm. How do I turn around? What do I sell at? I mean, really, the support is down at 35, so you could buy it at 41 and then it pulls back to 39 and you're like, okay, well, it didn't work out and I sell and take my loss. And then it runs to 45 on you. It's just not a clean setup. You don't have anything to lean on. So that's what makes that trade tougher. So it's a good eye, Spencer. It's a tough trade to just come in and chase. I think there's room to 45. If I was long it, I probably would be maybe holding out for 45. But it's not saying it's going to get there. It's still in a clear downtrend. And rallies are to be sold on stocks and downtrends, like Mark Chaykin said on our show earlier. So this is another nice rally. If I bought a 35, am I sitting around waiting for the 45? Or am I booking the quick $6? Maybe you're booking the quick $6.
All right. Can we talk Discovery for a second?
Oh yeah, sure. Everyone wants to talk about this.
All right, yeah. So if you saw DISCB yesterday, that was the one. Yeah, that was the one.
Sure.
Went totally crazy, ridiculousness, and obviously nothing to do with the company, because if you looked at DISCA or DISCK, which is the other one, they did diddly squat, nothing, right? Same company, three share classes. They gave you the same thing on paper. So why then did DISCB go crazy and the other two not?
Number of things happening here. One, the natural arb trade is really between DISCA and DISCK. I trade that one. I trade that all the time. DISCB is very loosely correlated. Why that is because there's hardly any shares outstanding. It's kind of loosely correlated too. You can see you put the charts on there. It kind of trades with it. So, but it's so loose, it's wider spreads. There's no shares outstanding. Nobody really trades this thing. So I don't know if this was a Reddit thing or, you know, what was really the catapult to take this off. I mean, this is just, you know, but the arbitrage just doesn't work in this case here now. So you have, if there was anybody that was short this thing, and there isn't a lot of able to borrow this, if they were, they're getting blown out. We did see this happen. This can happen, though. It's a good educational. And I called in Bloomberg, you know, I was quoted in Bloomberg article for this yesterday. I coined this. And this may not be the best example because this isn't really, you know, but this is what you would call it. You could see in the case of Viacom 5 years, it definitely was an ARB squeeze. So I don't think there's a lot of ARB traders in DISCB because this is just so thin. There's just not a lot.
Oh my gosh. It traded, here are the last,
yeah, give us the volume.
Going back to the 22nd, 3,600, 8,000, 4,700, 3,500. All right. And then it started to get ramped up. Then it went 73,000 on Monday,
It started blowing out.
And then yesterday it traded 1.3 million. But you know what? I was just going to say, I just saw it at 127 and I'm like, why is it this down more? And I just see it taking 120, 180. So I don't know. I thought I would have given it back a little bit quicker.
So it's disconnected from reality to GameStop style. When something's this thin, anything can happen and stocks can blow up for a bit. So if you can get a locate, I don't know if you can. I think it'd probably be really tough. it's hard to just, you know, maybe there were some traders that were saying, okay, well, this is a dumb move yes or 2 days ago when it went from 60, 55 to 79. And they're like, okay, I'm going to sell this short. And if you were so inclined to try to do that, again, we don't know what people were doing yesterday because the short data lags by 2 weeks. Yep. So, you know, you can say, well, there's no short interest. We don't know if someone was built yesterday, though. It's, again, a very difficult borrow. So I'm not sure, you know, if there could be some shorts out there. But, man, they'd get being blown out yesterday on that. So one thing to consider when you're doing these ARB trades is the real liquids ones like the Google versus the Goog, the VIAC versus the VIACA. Those are both fairly liquid, and you probably won't see something like this. Although, like I said, about 5 years ago, we did see the VIA go hard to borrow against the VIAB. That was before the CBS merger. And VIA blew out 30%, that spread blew out. And I was like, you are seeing people, we were talking about it on the show like 5 years ago, you're seeing ARBs get crushed. That was what you call an ARB squeeze, what I call an ARB squeeze, because I don't think anybody's used that term except me. I just coined it yesterday. But that was an ARB squeeze, where you've got the ARB saying, okay, well, if VIA is here and VIAB is here, you know, like it's got to track each other. It's the same company. It doesn't make any sense. So I'm going to short the one another bank coin. That blew you out 5 years ago on the VIAB. So I don't know if there's anybody that was able to get short the ISCB, but if they were, they're getting blown out. So when stocks become this disconnected from their fundamental thesis, which it obviously is because it's the same company, stock price can go anywhere. GameStop part two. I don't know if it's driven by Reddit. I don't know what the catalyst was. But this is just another GameStop, meaning price can literally go anywhere.
That was good explanation. I appreciate that. And I was sort of in the same boat. I thought that's what we talked about this yesterday, and I thought that's what you're going to say. So,
That's why I said in the Bloomberg article too. So, you do see this happen every once in a while. It's usually happens when one borrow goes tough to get. To be able to short a stock, you have to be able to get a locate. You have to locate the shares, find a long to be able to borrow the shares from them to be able to short the stock. What happened is VIA 5 years ago was always fairly easy to get, and the borrow became tough. I don't know if it was Redstone that just called in all his stock. You know, we were speculating, why did the borrow become tough on the street?
Yeah.
You could not get a VIA locate, and it was always easy. And all of a sudden, you couldn't get a locate anywhere. So traders all of a sudden can't borrow. They got 2 days to get out of their positions because you got to think people are carrying, you know, maybe big positions. I stay relatively small, so I never get hammered in anything. But if you got a hedge fund that's in the one and they got millions of shares of the one long, and this wasn't the discovery. This is not discovery because it's not that many shares outstanding. But what happened with VIA, VIAB 5 years ago was the VIA went hard to borrow. So if you've got that position on, VIA short versus VIAB long, and all of a sudden, you know, it goes up a little bit, you're like, I'm going to add to it because the spread always is here, but it's here now, I'm going to make the money. And all of a sudden, you can't get the borrow. The broker, if they cannot locate a stock to borrow, will literally go into your account and buy back the shares. It's called a buy-in. And you cannot do nothing. They legally have to do this because they can't have the fail to deliver. So this is what happened with VIA, VIAB. You got all those buy-ins that were just driving price, and the spread went from here, traded here for a decade, and went to here. It was insane. So you have ARBs getting blown out, ARBs getting bought in, ARB squeeze central happening in that. I don't suspect this happened here because it's so thin, there wouldn't be a lot of players in there. If there was any of those players in there, it's a smaller version maybe of what happened with VIA, VIAB 5 years ago.
All right, a couple other stocks. Actually, you know what? Let's do chat. Let's do chat questions, guys. Drop your tickers in and we'll do some chat. We didn't get to Micron. We didn't get to...
Oh, how did we not get to Micron?
I don't know. They had earnings, and the earnings were good. I think they were good. Last I checked, if I remember correctly. Yeah, their earnings were... Yeah, earnings were good. Yeah, okay. So that's all I need to know. Chat, any questions, drop them in. We got a few minutes before I'm going to move to our next guest here. Let's try to look at a stock that we don't look at every day. So I'm going to pass on Palantir. I'm going to pass on steel stocks. We've talked about those a lot. Let's try to find one off the beaten path. Okay. This one's interesting. It's a high growth name, but we haven't looked at it for a while. Twilio.
I have not looked at this one.
Kathy's been buying. Oh, you think the low is in, I got to wait for a pullback. Again, it's the same thing. It's went from three, you know, I'm a broken record, 306 to 350 in 2 days. Stock's up 15% in 2 days. You're buying it now, you're doing it backwards. So I'd be ringing the register if I was long. Sold to you.
I would love, if I was long this, and I would love to see 364. Pair of highs, 63.
Wouldn't you be selling 350, though? It's up 15% in 2 days. Sounds like a gift to me.
Well, if it was my target, I mean, I would take it. I don't, wow, man. I even go lower than that because that's a little bit high. 360. I mean, look, keep an eye on the pre-market high. I mean, this is up. It's only up on 7,500 shares. So just do the old, all right. Wow, not a lot of volume trading up here. So keep an eye. If it doesn't get to 353, 52.99 is the high, then boom, I would whack the thing if it started to come back down. But also another scenario is you get to that pre-market high, you go up another buck, and then you come back down to it. So not much there. The next daily high comes in at 56.98. So if you want to sell, put your offers out there. See if you get lifted.
All right, what we're going to do is we're going to do a stock every 30 seconds. I'm going to do it, then you're going to do it. Because in 30 seconds is what we got. We're going to try to do six stocks in the next 3 minutes. Pick them. Okay. Spencer, you're picking them. Just throw us tickers.
Spinner's saying that SHW has a 3-for-1 split today. It's been a monster. I haven't seen
I don't know if it does or not. I haven't been checked on the start. But...
Oh, this has finally had a move. Wow.
Are you still long this?
No. I got on that one. Keep an eye on 41.20. You want to see that pair of highs right in that area. Get through area resistance.
A few people asking about COUR IPO yesterday. Not much you can say. One day of action there. Can you look at Penn, please? They said please. So, yes, we will look at Penn because you asked nicely.
Penn stock chart is broken. 110 major resistance. I'd be a seller at 110. Not buying it. Okay, pick one for Joel.
Okay, that was really quick. MO. There, that was a good one.
Wow, give me the wild ones. Triple top, 52.60, right there. Keep an eye on that. Got to get through it. Looks like it's coming down.
We're getting better at this. We're flying through now.
We are doing good.
Those are pretty easy charts. Ooh,
Hog? What about Hog?
Oh man, I'm kicking myself here because I was gonna buy this stupid stock at 34.35 because I thought this was a play that could come back, and I loved the pullback there, and then it just ripped for five straight days and then gapped up, so I missed it. So I mean, now you're running a resistance of 42. I've missed it. I'm not bearish the stock. I wish I was long.
Why did it jump like that yesterday?
It had there was news. There was it a rating? There was news. I remember
driverless motorcycles.
How'd you know? I don't know. It was an upgrade.
I love when you say the driverless motorcycles. I love the driverless motorcycle play. We just watch the motorcycle go down the road with no people in it.
There's no one on it.
Watch my bike go.
Ghost ride. Did you ever do that with your kids? Ghost like rider. In the stroller? Do a ghost ride?
No.
You know what that is? You used to do it with your bike? Like you
push them down the hill?
Yeah, well, you push it, and then you just let it go with, like, the stroller. Ghost ride!
And they don't even know until it's too
late. And they don't even know. Right. I tried to, yeah. At least
Fubo. They all want to know Fubo.
I know.
Holy mackerel. Fubo has been hammered. It's got a level. You know, you got support at $20. It's come up 23 now. So you got to clear support at 20.
Oh, like look at Fubo. 20.
Oh, they've hammered Fubo. The problem is this stock is one of those concept stocks. It got some revenue, but the valuation's still crazy, and they've hated these stocks. Sorry, Mr. Zach Morris, who was chanting this thing on Twitter forever at $40. I hope he's okay because it's down to 20. He said he was going to retire on this because it was going to 100 when it was at 40.
Who said that?
That Mr. Zach Morris account that they put down on Twitter. I don't know if he's back or not.
You want to see the stock that got hammered? AI. Is going to absolutely wreck. The IPO price. The IPO price was 42. Think about this. The IPO. So it's not actually that bad. The IPO price was 42. So those people are still looking pretty good.
Oh my!
But it opened.
Oh my!
It opened. Oh at, my! Oh crap! What was the opening price? $100. That's where it opened. $100.
This is the chart that shows you the high growth storied stocks. This is really the high PE stuff. I mean, this is the chart that, you know, shows everything straight down, can't get relief. 2000 bubble pop style. That's exactly what it looked like. Death by a thousand cuts, just down a little bit more every day. No ridiculously spike down. There's a couple, yeah, you know, 10% drops in there. Just right down a little bit more every day, a little bit more every day. Okay, you got support at 60. It's found a little bit of support. It's bounced up at 68. On a pullback here, you got to stop yourself out of the 59.75 low because you never own a stock making a new all-time low. So that's absolutely your stock out, your stop out. I don't know if I'm buying it up at 68. If you pulled back maybe to 65 or 64, maybe you stop yourself out there. But again, valuation.
This guy did $25
stock
tip.
Clearly downtrend.
All right, yeah, we'll do it quick, and then I'm going to our guest.
Okay.
SOS, we'll go one more.
SOS, quickly.
Wow. Great support. It got the pop up to 520, and now where's it at? I mean, you got the support there. Support is support. It'd be a dream for it to get back to $10, though. But a great support. Let's see it take out the pre-market high and keep on going. But it could go to $10.
All right. Our next guest knows a lot more about infrastructure than we do, and he is coming prepared with stocks. Norman Anderson is the chairman and CEO of CGLA Infrastructure, joining us now on Pre-Market Prep. Norman, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing okay. We're fired up. It's a synthetic Friday. looking forward to a nice long weekend. First, let me just ask you about the plan. I mean, you've been involved in these types of things in the past. Realistically, like, what are we looking at here? Obviously, it's nice. All these big numbers, and these are all the things we want to do. But like, and this is how we're going to pay for it, supposedly. But realistically, like, can this actually happen?
Well, you know, I think it's fun to listen to you guys, first of all. So thanks a lot. Thanks for having me on. This can for sure happen because it's really, you know, probably what you guys would call more secular than political. The digitization and electrification of our infrastructure is going to happen. So they started to talk about your grandfather's infrastructure with Build Back Better during the election. Now, all of a sudden, they're talking about advanced manufacturing, electric vehicles, electric charger stations, and anything having to do with digitization. So that's really where this is going to go. You know, what happened yesterday was a opening gun in let's do some infrastructure. You're not going to see the end of this story until May or June. Congress needs to weigh in, and we're getting lots of calls from congressmen, congresswomen, trying to figure out how do you pay for this without raising taxes, and how do you pay for this without going into more debt? And there's lots of ways to do that. If you look at the infrastructure that I mentioned, that's all private investment, renewables infrastructure, anything having to do with electrification, anything having to do with digital, that's all private investment. So there's huge opportunities for companies like I mentioned, NXP and other companies like AES, just huge opportunities for those companies.
So NXPI is what you just mentioned. And what was the other one?
NXP, AES. AES is the largest independent power producer. And they're going all green, getting rid of all their coal plants, et cetera. So they've gone from something like 11 to 28 since June.
So you're saying that not only is this plan in itself, you know, beneficial, but you're saying we could end up relying on a small number of these companies to shoulder the burden.
That's what I'm saying. There are a small number of these companies, and there's just huge opportunities for them and for the economy. I mean, you know, once we get away from thinking about old infrastructure and start thinking about the 5G, machine learning, electrification, driverless vehicles, autonomous vehicles, autonomous trucking, then you're starting to cook with gas. Then you've got some really interesting things going on.
But that's not to say they didn't mention, so they didn't talk about like traditional infrastructure. They certainly did, right? There's a lot of money earmarked for roads and bridges and water pipe tunnels and to go with like the new economy type of infrastructure. So give us some ideas on the old infrastructure side of things.
So if you look at old infrastructure, you've got traditional companies like AECOM and Parsons. Again, both of those companies are moving as fast as they can into digitization and electrification. But you've also got companies who are digitizing how we build infrastructure, how we get the approvals process through, and how projects operate. So you've got Trimble and you've got Oracle. You've got Autodesk, companies like that. You know, a lot of those aren't pure plays, but really interesting companies moving the industry rapidly in that direction. But the other thing, you know, just the other thing that your question raises, which is phenomenal. Look, we've got between $33 and $40 trillion worth of old infrastructure that's average age is over 55 years. You can digitize and electrify that. Think about what's the biggest leisure company in the U.S. It's the Army Corps of Engineers. They own more than 600 reservoirs. Think about if you were to figure out how to get private investment into those assets. There's just a huge opportunity once you start to plop digitization and electrification onto these things that we have right now. We just looked at a highway in Ohio. You know, you think about a highway. I think about a highway as something that costs $1 billion to build. A highway is something that can produce as much as $200 million a year in revenue from its 7 different revenue sources. High voltage electricity going down the middle of it to charge driverless trucks. 5G posts, autonomous trucking, end to end. If you were to put this on the entire interstate highway system, all of a sudden you'd create a 5G ecosystem in this country as well. So the table is kind of set. There's a lot. You guys connect the dots better than anybody. But if you connect the dots in terms of a vision, you could really get this country moving in the right direction. That's what we hope happens with the Biden plan over the next 2 months as it starts to get refined and focused.
And just to be clear, you said you're having conversations with senators. This is a bipartisan issue. We just can't really agree on how we're going to pay for it.
Well, what I think is it's a cross-generational issue. And I think that's going to become more and more clear because your generation, I don't even know how you put up with our generation, right? Because we're basically saying we need more of our grandfather's infrastructure and we need to pile more debt on you guys to pay for it. We've already put $30 trillion in debt on top of you guys. So what we're getting is calls from younger Congress, members of Congress, veterans, and they're saying, look, we need to do advanced infrastructure. We need advanced manufacturing, advanced agriculture. How do we pay for that that doesn't involve more debt and that doesn't involve more taxes? And there's lots of different ways to do that. You know, I put Hannon Armstrong on here as well. Hannon funds AI companies that go into buildings and other infrastructure to improve dramatically their performance. They could do the same thing for transit systems, for water systems. The opportunity is huge. And again, this cross-generational thing, Thomas Jefferson said, you know, no generation has the right to impose debt on the next generation. Well, we proved him wrong.
I'm liking these names because I'm not familiar with a lot of those names you just mentioned. Hannon Armstrong is not one I know, HASI. I don't know Parsons or AECOM. Was there any more on your list? Any like obvious names that like jump off the page to you? It doesn't really matter if it's new infrastructure, if it's old infrastructure. Any other names that jump out of the page from yesterday?
No, I mean, I hate to say no. I hate to ever say no. But what I think is, you know, if you look at the top companies in the U.S. in 2010, they're not the same top companies in 2020. Sure. And I think that's where we're headed. So if you look at companies like, you know, I put Synaptics on here. Synaptics, company founded in 1986, all of a sudden starts to move. I mean, once you take this giant part of our economy, and if you take infrastructure, plop on energy, plop on buildings, you know, you get up to, I don't know, 10 to 15% of the economy. Once you put that in play, once you start to digitize, electrify that, all of a sudden that becomes a hugely dynamic part of the economy. That's what we think can happen over the next 5 to 10 years. And again, I think the Biden plan is really a work in progress that just the opening gun was sounded yesterday.
Yeah, and I guess we'll have to wait and see, right, as like how it gets watered down through the process, right? And that's something that we're not going to know until it happens.
Well, or how it gets powered up, because
okay, you know, or how it gets powered up, okay.
Yeah, look, let me make one last point. We've got $30 trillion in debt, but we also have $30 trillion in pension fund assets and life insurance assets that are long-lived assets that could easily go into infrastructure. Why we don't do that, why we think about taxes and debt is beyond me. Everywhere else in the world, every country in the world's been resource constrained for the last 30 years and super creative about how to get their long-term pension fund assets into infrastructure projects. That's the kind of thing that we should be doing. We're not doing that yet, but we're going to be doing that by May or June.
Norman Anderson is the chairman and CEO of CGLA Infrastructure. If you didn't know by now, let Ted Trader tell you. He says Norman is the man. I agree. He came prepared with names, and we like it. Norman, thank you so much for the time. Have a great rest of your day. Have a great weekend. We will be in touch with you throughout this process. We'll have to get you back, and once the wheels keep turning down a little more, and see how things have changed.
Great being with you guys. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks a lot, Norman. All right. It is 9:12. I've got a couple of minutes here. And there was a few things that we did not have time to get to on the pre-market show that I wanted to cover quickly before Get Technical with Neil Hamilton. And let me just start with RKT. I'm going to share my Bentham Pro here. That's a daily chart. Actually, we don't care about the chart for right now. Let's go into PR filings. All right. Dan Gilbert, who is a majority shareholder in RKT, sold about $500 million worth of Rocket shares. Now, this is the Form 4 filing. That $500 million number is, I would basically just ignore these first two rows. That bottom row is the one with the code S, right, for sell, the Class A shares. So he sold a little over 20 million shares, and there's your average price, about $24.75. So that comes out to about $500 million. So you might see that and say, whoa, 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 Mr. Gilbert, what are you doing? Why are you selling? What do you know that I don't? Well, as we've said a lot of times on this show, there is one reason to buy and a million reasons to sell. In this case, that $500 million number is eerily similar to this number that he pledged to Detroit last week, right? So in this case, there really isn't anything to see. We know why he's selling, because it actually says so in the filing, right? If you scroll down on the filing, it actually says, where does it say? Line six right there, right? Line six. Plans to use his portion of the proceeds to help fund his recently announced commitment to revitalizing Detroit neighborhoods. So there we go. You see a big sell, insider sell from the largest shareholder, you freak out. Take a second to look, okay? It's not always what it seems. So I wanted to mention that on the RKT front today. We mentioned Micron, but we kind of did it real quickly. Oh, I want to go to Wingstop, actually, before Micron. Wingstop had prelim numbers overnight. You see it trading up this morning. That is why. They say that system-wide sales increased in the first quarter 30% year over year. And so if you look up a chart, you will see Wingstop. This thing was forever. It was just at this really high price. It still is an expensive restaurant stock, if you ask me. But you see it up 7% in the pre-market. And they gave prelim Q1 guidance figures. I mentioned the NIO deliveries. We also got deliveries from XPEV. Kind of the same story there. Again, every EV stock is up this morning, except for the one, XL Fleet, who had earnings after the close yesterday. And market does not like that. So XL Fleet going against trend here this morning, down in the face of every other EV stock that I can find being up in the pre-market session here. Didn't mention FTFT. They are buying a Bitcoin mining farm. There's your headline. It says it right there. They're paying about $9 million for a Bitcoin mining farm. So that's good for 24%. I don't know. That's what the market says this morning. Go figure. And then, yeah, Micron, which we covered for 2 seconds, but not really. Had earnings last night. EPS beat, sales beat, and guidance beat. Beat across the board for Micron. So looking good there. Let's look at the daily. Zoom out on Micron a little bit. Yeah. Oh, this thing is knocking on the door. Look at that double top. We'll have to get Neil to talk about this and get technical. Well, I don't know. Would Neil call that a snack? I'm not quite up on the Neil terminology. Also, I want to add, Got some color yesterday from Joel Kulina. If you recall, he was on the show a couple of days ago. And he's from Wedbush. He was on the show on Tuesday. Gave us some color on the block trade chaos, right? The family office that blew up and Viacom and Discovery and all that crap that happened over the weekend. And he's talking to people, clients all day. He told us that he's seeing that it may not be done. The block trade selling may not be done. There may be some more to go. He wasn't like totally convinced or convicted, but he basically sent us a note saying that, if I can, maybe I'll read from it here. It was only a couple of sentences. He said he's seen or heard people calling for consolidation or a near-term bounce. Again, this is in stocks like Viacom, which, if anything, just suggests that the positioning, i.e. positioning they're trying to unwind, is not fully cleaned out, or faster money tried buying the dip too early, or guys just want out of these stocks given the end of the quarter. So Joel is watching Viacom closely today, saying maybe the selling is not yet done. That's what he's watching. And I want to throw that on your radar so you watch it as well. Okay, that is going to be a wrap for pre-market prep this week. Everyone, please, please, please show us some love. Smash the like. That's how you show us love. That's how you show me love. That's how I get my self-worth, actually, is via our like count, if you didn't know that already. So I derive my self-worth from our like count, and therefore, you have a direct impact on my self-worth. So please, please, please hit that like button, everyone. We appreciate that. Hit subscribe as well. Couple announcements. YouTube 47 will get you a 47% off Benzinga Pro subscription, a monthly subscription paid annually. Again, YouTube 47 pro.benzinga.com. Also, if you have your own platform, you have your own audience, you want to become a Benzinga affiliate, check it out. Benzinga.partnerstack.com. You will earn 30% on every new subscription that you send to Benzinga Pro. Again, benzinga.partnerstack.com. Also, I don't mention this enough, really, but if you go into our description, there's a lot of good stuff, good links in the description of our video. We've got free newsletters. We've got our premium stuff, our premium newsletters. We have our investing courses finding the best stockbrokers, the best crypto exchanges. There's links to a ton of Benzinga resources in the description of this video. So check that out if you can. On that note, this show is always available as a podcast on all the major podcast platforms. Please remember that all the information from our show is meant to be used as informational purposes, not for investing or trading advice.